Our psalm this morning is Psalm 68, and we are singing refrain one. Let God rise up.
Let God's enemies be scattered. Let those who hate God flee.
As smoke is driven away, so drive them away.
As wax melts before fire, let the wicked perish before God.
But let the righteous be joyful.
Let them exult before God. Let them be jubilant with joy.
Sing to God. Sing praises to God's name.
Lift up a song to the one who rides upon the clouds. Exalt before the one whose name is Lord. Sing praise to God who reigns above, the God of our salvation.
In the holy habitation, God is father of orphans and protector of widows.
God gives the desolate a home to live in and leads out the prisoners to prosperity, but the rebellious live in a parched land.
O God, when you went out before your people, when you marched through the wilderness,
the earth quaked, the heavens poured down rain at the presence of God, the God of Sinai, at the presence of God, the God of Israel. Rain in abundance, O God, you showered abroad, you restored your heritage when it languished.
Your flock found a dwelling in it.
In your goodness, O God, you provided for the needy. Sing praise to God, who reigns above, the God of our salvation.
That's not what I have here. All that.
Where has it gone?
Gone somewhere. There we go. Yep. The Lord gives the command. Great is the company of those who bore the tidings. The kings of the armies, they flee, they flee.
The women at home divide the spoil, though they stay among the sheepfolds. The wings of a dove covered with silver, its pinions with green gold.
When the Almighty scattered kings there,
it was like snow falling on Zalmon. Sing praise to God.
Mighty mountain, mountain of Bashan, O many-peaked mountain, mountain of Bashan.
Why do you look with envy, O many-peaked mountain, at the mount that God desired for an abode, where the Lord will reside forever?
With mighty chariotry, twice 10,000, thousands upon thousands, the Lord came from Sinai into the holy place.
You ascended the high mount, leading captives in your train, and receiving gifts from people, even from those who rebel against the Lord God's abiding there.
Blessed be the Lord, who daily bears us up. God is our salvation.
Our God is a God of salvation, and to God the Lord belongs escape from death. Sing praise to God,
but God will shatter the heads of enemies, the hairy crown of those who walk in their guilty ways. The Lord said, I will bring them back from Bashan. I will bring them back from the depths of the sea, so that you may bathe your feet in blood, so that the tongues of your dogs may have their share from the foe.
Your solemn processions are seen, O God, the processions of my God, my sovereign, into the sanctuary. The singers in front, the musicians last, between them girls playing tambourines. Bless God in the great congregation, the Lord, O you who are of Israel's fountain.
There is Benjamin, the least of them, in the lead. The princes of Judah in a body, the princes of Zebulun, the princes of Naphtali.
Summon your might, O God. Show your strength, O God, as you have done for us before.
Sing praise to God.
Because of your temple at Jerusalem, rulers bear gifts to you.
Rebuke the wild animals that live among the reeds, the herd of bulls with the calves of the peoples.
Trample underfoot those who lust after tribute. Scatter the peoples who delight in war.
Let bronze be brought from Egypt. Let Ethiopia hasten to stretch out its hands to God.
Sing praise to God, who reigns above, the God of all salvation.
Sing to God, O kingdoms of the earth.
Sing praises to the Lord.
O rider in the heavens, the ancient heavens.
Listen, God's voice goes forth, a mighty voice.
Ascribe power to God, whose majesty is over Israel and whose power is in the skies.
Awesome is God in the sanctuary, the God of Israel, who gives power and strength to the people.
Blessed be God. Our New Testament reading is 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verses 1 to 5. Finally, brothers, pray for us that the message of the Lord may spread rapidly and be honored, just as it was with you. And pray that we may be delivered from wicked and evil men, for not everyone has faith. But the Lord is faithful, and he will strengthen and protect you from the evil one. We have confidence in the Lord that you are doing and will continue to do the things we command. May the Lord direct your hearts into God's love and Christ's perseverance. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Madeline. Let us pray. Gracious God, we thank you for people like David who were mighty prayers and people like Paul who encouraged us to do the same. Help us to hear your word this morning. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be pleasing to you, O God, our rock and redeemer. Amen. So I grew up in the church, and one of the things that means for me, at least, is that I don't remember being taught how to pray. I do remember saying the Lord's Prayer before I'd go down to Sunday school. My minister, like I do with our kids here, would always do a repeat after me prayer, and so I remember doing that with him. And I would pray sometimes before bed, but there was never really a, let's learn how to pray. Maybe probably there was in Sunday school, but it's not something that I remember. And I actually think in some ways this is a good thing, this idea that when children are brought up in the church, that prayer is just something you do rather than something you need to learn. The idea is that prayer is just something of who we are and the way that we connect to God. Now, if that wasn't your experience, or sometimes even if it was, as an adult, it can be hard to pray regularly on our own. The truth is that habits are hard to form and they're easy to break. And so all too often after we leave on a Sunday morning, we kind of get into our own life, and sometimes we forget about God and the importance of talking to him in the meantime. But prayer was never meant to just be something that we do as part of a one-hour worship service on Sundays. And so I'm going to start with what Paul said to the Thessalonians. And it's just a small little passage. It's only five verses, which you were probably grateful for after doing the whole Psalm 68. But Paul, as he often does, has a habit of being able to pack a heck of a lot into just a few little verses. And the first thing I think we need to hear is that everyone can pray for everyone. So sometimes there's this sense that prayer is for the clergy, or prayer is for the spiritually mature, that you have to hit a certain level of being a Christian before you can pray for other people. But the Thessalonians would have been full of new Christians. Paul, who's like Paul, right? He's the one who had the vision with the risen Christ on the way to Damascus. He went from being one who was trying to kill the Christians to the one who brought the message of Jesus to the Gentiles. This is Paul. And as Paul is finishing out his letter to them, he says to them, please pray for us. And maybe some of them might have been, us? Pray for you? Isn't that your job? But Paul wants us to understand it goes back and forth. And so it's just as important for a person sitting in the pews to pray for leadership, to pray for me and our session, as it is for us to pray for you. There is this reciprocal nature to prayer that sometimes we miss out on. And then Paul goes through a whole bunch of ways that we can pray, a whole bunch of things we can pray for. Right, so the first thing is, pray for us that the message of the Lord may spread. Right, this is a good prayer, that people would learn the good news of Jesus. And that can take different forms. Sometimes it's, I'm going into this new situation, I think I might have to talk about my faith in this, God, give me the right words to say. Sometimes it's about hearing a wrong message about Jesus and praying, God, please let this message, if I can offset this message with the good news, help me do that, right? Paul asks to be delivered from wicked and evil men. Evil is real in the world. People who oppose our faith, who oppose the good for people, they're real. We are seeing them in the news actively on a regular basis. And Paul says it's good to pray that we would be freed, that the world would be freed from these wicked and evil people who are causing trouble and making life harder for people. Paul says he promises that God will strengthen and protect. And that's something else we can pray for when we're not feeling strong enough to do what God is asking us to do, when we feel like we could be in danger, but we think we have to do it, we can pray for strength and protection. And Paul says God will answer those prayers. And Paul also says that may the Lord direct your hearts. So we can pray for obedience, for discernment, for knowing the way we should go, for knowing what is the right way to follow God. We can pray for those things, pray for direction. And we could come up with a whole host of other things. Later we will pray prayers of thanksgiving for all the things that God's done for us in the last several months as a congregation. And we could go on and on and on, confession and many other things. But the third thing we need to hear is that God is listening, that prayer doesn't just go to a closed ceiling. Prayer doesn't just leave our lips or come out of our hearts and go nowhere. God is listening. The Lord is faithful, is what Paul says. Sometimes it doesn't always feel that way. Sometimes it does feel like we're praying to nothing or to no one. But even in that isolation, even in that difficulty, God is there and God is listening. If we don't have prayer, we don't have a relationship with God. And that can be a hard thing to hear if you don't have a regular practice of prayer. But we know this from relationships. If I stop talking to Lyra, if I never send her a text, if I never go and see how she's doing, we don't have a friendship anymore. We're just two people who happen to live in the world together. Lyra knows I wouldn't do that. It's the same with God. It's not any different. If we never talk to God, if we never listen for his voice, if we never try to understand how to grow closer to him, we don't have a relationship with God. God's just another being that's existing in the world with us. We were reading, I spent all week this week in the book of James, so my head is very familiar with it. I had to read it every week for 16 weeks. So I've got a lot of James in my head. And one of the things James says to some of his opponents is, you believe there is one good, one God, good for you. So do the demons, and they shudder. Acknowledging the existence of God is not the same as having a relationship with God. The demons, the people who misuse the name of God, they all know who God is too. So prayer, and as I said with kids, prayer takes many forms, but prayer is the way we connect to God. So in January, we're going to do a whole series on prayer. We're going to talk about different types of prayer, why we pray. We're going to talk a bit about the Lord's Prayer. But leading from the new year up into Lent, just before Lent starts, we're going to spend some time thinking again about prayer. Because I think it's helpful. I know for me, it's helpful to have that reminder. It doesn't matter how long I've been in the church. My habits get loose. I know intellectually it's important, but I get busy. And so being reminded is helpful, and I hope for you too. What's interesting is we don't have a ton of passages in the Bible that give like step-by-step instructions on how to pray. Jesus says a couple things about being alone in your room, about not praying so that other people will notice how holy you are, but praying for God, about not adding extra words just so you sound smart, about just praying for the things that you need. But beyond that, there aren't a lot of this is how you pray, except by example. And there is no place in the Bible where you find more examples of prayer than in the Psalms. Basically, every psalm can be seen as a prayer. And they're prayers of all different kinds. Many of the psalms in that book are attributed to King David. We know that he was a musician and a poet, and so most of them are attributed to him, including the one we read today. And they take all sorts of turns. And one of the reasons I picked Psalm 68 is because hopefully you noticed there's some moments of praise, there's some moments of request, there's some language and some imagery that makes us, hopefully made you, feel very uncomfortable. And I picked it because it has all those pieces. Because sometimes when we come across words in Scripture, prayers, it makes us feel very uncomfortable. There's all these different types, and I wanted to try to get a little bit of a sample all into one psalm. So again, because I've been in class all week, there's a little bit of a learning lens that is currently in everything I looked at. So I have some of the words, if we're going to put it up using G, and then we're going to go through. So I've got a few, I promise I'm not going through the whole psalm, but we're going to look at a few different spots just to point some things out. Because the other thing we find often, and this is what I love about learning languages, is there's these beautiful metaphors that we miss out entirely. So verse 4, sing to God, sing in praise of his name, extol him who rides on the clouds, rejoice before him, his name is the Lord. And so him who rides on the clouds in the ancient Near East was the Canaanite god Baal. That was one of the images for him. So what David is doing in his prayer to God is he's lording it over his fallen enemies, right? We've just prayed of a thanks that God has defeated the enemies, and he's basically like, you think Baal stands over the clouds? Let me tell you who really stands over the clouds. It's Yahweh. So he's kind of boasting a bit, right? He's kind of saying, look at how awesome this is, that what's happened, and he's giving the praise to God, but he's doing it in a bit of a ha-ha, you know, I got you kind of way to their enemies. what you think of that in prayer is something to think about. But that's what we have. And then in the next two verses, we have this. A father to the fatherless, a defender of widows is God in his holy dwelling. God sets the lonely in families. He leads out the prisoners with singing, but the rebellious live in a sun-scorched land. And I bolded a couple of those phrases because I think it's fantastic that in the middle of this triumphant hymn of praise to God for all the wonderful military victories and all the things they've done, David takes a moment to recognize what makes God special, which is that he doesn't just win victories. He's a father to the fatherless, a defender of widows. God is the God of the overlooked, of the oppressed, of the poor. God is the God who cares about the people that everybody else forgets about. I just think it's God sets the lonely in families, that with all of this big, great, impressive things that are happening, God notices the people who are alone. And he makes sure that they have community. This is the God that we worship. And we can pray for these people and for these situations. So moving on a little bit, we get to 15 to 17. And there's this weird Mount Bashan, majestic mountain, Mount Bashan, rugged mountain. And there's this like talk about mountains, which maybe feels a little bit baffling. Again, sometimes when we read scripture, sometimes even when we hear prayers, the words are baffling. We don't understand what they mean. So in the Psalm Psalter, it uses, I think, Bashan of the three peaks or multi-peaks. So Mount Bashan, probably Mount Hermon was the other name that we see it in the Old Testament. It was the largest, part of the largest mountain range in that area of the world. And they were impressive, and they were stark, and they were sharp, these sharp, giant peaks that just overwhelmed the area at the northern end. And David says, isn't it neat that God didn't pick the giant, sharp, impressive mountains? God chose the little hill of Zion to be where he dwells, right? David is celebrating that God chooses the lowly, the small, the unimpressive to be the place where he will dwell. And he says, yeah, mountains, you look really great. You know, people look at you and they feel awe, but we all know you're jealous because the presence of the God is here. Right? This is the language that David is using. And then right after that, we get to the very center of the psalm. Verse 18, so we've got 17 verses before, 17 verses after. And we have this, when you ascended on high, you took many captives. You received gifts from people, even from the rebellious, that you, Lord God, might dwell there. So this sense of God's ascension, of coming into God's place where God will be worshipped, where God will dwell, where God will live, that's the center of this psalm. This is the thing that David's building to and then building away from. And Paul quotes it in Ephesians. But to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. This is why it says, when he ascended on high, he took many captives and gave gifts to his people. You'll notice the wording is slightly different. But Paul heard this Psalm 68 and said, Jesus is in this. Even in all of this language that makes us uncomfortable, even in some of the stuff we don't understand, even though they didn't know who Jesus was going to be, Paul says, David saw something, even if he didn't know it, about David in the middle of this victory that was happening. And the gifts that we've been given, that's what's the context of Ephesians 4. He's talking about the gifts. He's given some to be teachers, some to be preachers, etc. The gifts that we have been given come from God and from God's dwelling. So there's this connection to Jesus. And then just one more set of verses. Praise God in the great congregation. Praise the Lord in the assembly of Israel. And then he names a number of tribes. Benjamin being the smallest. Judah being the largest. Zebulun and Naphtali representing from the north whereas Judah is from the south. He's trying to capture everyone, from the smallest tribe to the largest tribe, from the northern to the southern tips of the land of Israel. Everyone is invited into the congregation. Everybody's invited to take part. Praising God is what connects us together, what allows us, no matter what our differences are, to say we want to be here together. Some of these parts are confusing. Some of them are disturbing. I don't know about you. I don't particularly want to dip my feet in an ocean of blood. That is not an image. There are other places in Psalms where David says some disturbing things about his enemies. And they're in Scripture. And we can take that confusion and that discomfort to God as well. And say, God, I don't like this so much. I don't know what you're trying to get at here. I don't know what David was trying to get at. But I believe that you are good and you are faithful. Help me understand. And we can talk about it with each other. And we can work through these things together. But what it also says to me is that we can bring our unsanitized thoughts to God. Here's the reality from other places. God already knows them anyway. If you think that you're hiding your deepest sort of sins, your darkest moments, your ugliest feelings from God, you're wrong. God knows them already. But when we offer them up to God, when we bring them out into the light, they stop having the same power over us because God is then allowed to work within us. So even when David says things like, you will allow us to dip our feet in the blood of our enemies, maybe that's not the prayer we want to make, but maybe that gives us permission to pray about those ugly thoughts we've had about our neighbor or our family member or our coworker and say, I know this isn't pretty, God, but this is the reality of where I am. Help me with it. So what can we do about this here and now? There's actually one more, so if you want to go to the next slide, that's okay. There are two ways, very easy ways, that you can participate. One very easy way are these prayer cards. Some of them are in the pews. There's a stack here by the Sherwood door. There should be some at the back as well by the Parkdale door. If you have something you want to pray, want prayed for, you would like, and it doesn't matter what it is. And if you're really not comfortable putting your name on it, we'd rather you put your name because we like to pray for people by name. But you can just write something if you have something you want prayed for. And you put it in the offering, and it goes to me, and it goes to our prayer team, which is quite small. It's led by Shirley Moulton. And we'll pray. We'll pray for you. And we hope that you'll pray for us as well. And if you feel called to prayer ministry, if prayer is something that you do regularly, you can take this down now. You can also join the prayer team. And when Shirley is here, you can ask her about it. You can ask me about it. We get a prayer list once a month that we then pray for. And if things come up in between those times, they get emailed out. If you don't do email and you wanted a printed list, we can do that as well. But it's a simple way that you can pray for other people in the congregation. And one of the nice things about having a list of things to pray for is if you have trouble thinking about what to pray for, you've got a place to start. And Shirley does a beautiful job of connecting scripture passages to the various prayers that we are offering. And so you can see how prayer, how scripture connects to the things that we pray for. Those are just a few things. We are going to talk more in January about the significance of prayer. But I encourage you to think, if you don't pray outside of church, maybe think about why. Think about ways that maybe you could do that. It doesn't have to be long. It doesn't have to be fancy. It can be when you wake up in the morning. You can set an alarm on your phone for lunchtime or before bed, wherever it works. And if you're not sure how to pray, or the ways you learned, as I said with the kids, if the ways you learned how to pray don't work for you, we can talk about other ways to pray, and we're going to do that a bit in January as well. But prayer is our lifeline. It's our way to connect to God, and God delights when we pray with him. So let us do that now. God, I thank you for the many examples of prayers we find through the Psalms. Help us, God, to use them to expand the way that we pray, to understand the ways that you delight in us praying to you, in listening for your word. Help us, God, to grow deeper and deeper with you every day. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.